dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond.
Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And the Lord has sent us some gifts today. His gifts come in people. And we have with us the ministers Don Davis and Beverly Davis from Kerrville, Texas. And what is so outstanding to me, and I recognized right away that we had a gift with some gifts with us, they were associated with Reverend and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin. And they were associated with them in their 27 years pastorate, at least part of it, at First Assembly in Pasadena, Texas. Now, one thing about Brother and Sister Goodwin, they were very close with Brother Hagen. Brother Hagen would drive, Kenneth E. Hagen would drive 500 miles out of the way to pray with J.R. and Carmen Goodwin. And it was because of this, we're a Holy Ghost-filled church. We're supposed to be operating not on our own cognizance, but on the gifts of the Spirit, following the Holy Ghost and the Word. Right. And you were telling upstairs between when we had our prayer session and we ate some sandwiches, and I heard you telling a story that I've heard Brother Hagen tell. So would you please tell that, Brother Don?
Well, it seems that, of course, Brother Hagen was pastoring at one time fairly close to where this happened. And Dad was always spending a lot of time in prayer and fasting. And
we're speaking of J.R. Goodwin. That's who you
call
Dad.
We're talking about Dad. Yeah, mm-hmm. Dad Goodwin. And, of course, later on in his pastorate there in Pasadena, we met Brother Hagen, and he came and held services there. At first, Brother Hagen would come, and our congregation would come to hear him, because Dad always said, there's one thing you could count on when Brother Hagen left, your faith would be built up. And yes. And he would use the same scripture, but I guarantee you, when you walked out of there, your faith was going to be higher than it was when it came in.
Yes, yes.
Your confidence in God, because God can do anything. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So it was really strange, because we don't talk too much about we don't preach on hell or the devil very much anymore. But Dad was in this church, and he was praying because
at Wright City, right?
At mm-hmm. Wright City, because he hadn't seen revival in the church.
Yes. And he was the pastor.
And he's the pastor. And it's very disturbing when you're praying and fasting and you're preaching your heart out and you don't see any results. No one was being saved, nobody filled with the Holy Ghost, and being filled with the Holy Ghost was their mantra. I mean, that was what they absolutely was the main topic of conversation.
Right.
So anyway, Dad was kneeling in the living room at his couch. And as he prayed, all of a sudden, he was taken in the Spirit into the sanctuary at the front of the church. And as he stood there and he looked up, there was a platform over the back door. And standing up there on that platform was an ape spirit. I'm talking about A-P-E. And this ape spirit had on an Ike jacket. I think it even had on a little hat. But he had spats on and black shoes. And Dad saw all of this. And he recognized him as an imp from the devil. And he said, in Jesus' name, you come down from there. And this ape spirit shook his head no. And Dad said, I said, in the authority of Jesus' name, you come down. And the ape spirit swung down and hid in the middle of the aisle. And Dad said, now you leave this church and don't you ever come back. Well, he just kind of lingered there a minute, and Dad got a little more violent with him and said, I said, in the name of Jesus, yes, you leave and don't come back.
Amen.
Well, the ape spirit went to the door, opened the front of the doors. Actually, when Dad got back there, believe it or not, the doors were open, and he looked out and to see where this ape spirit had gone. And he had gone down the road, and he was crossing over the main highway to go to a bar or a saloon across the street. Now, Dad shuts the doors to the church, and all of a sudden, he's back at the couch kneeling and praying. And the next day, he reads in the paper, this saloon had burned down during the night.
Isn't that amazing?
And the main thing that I think is really interesting about this story, although that's pretty, bizarre, all of this, because you don't have many people that have that kind of authority with God anymore. Most of the time we entertain the devil, we pet him. I'm preaching a little bit here.
Aso preando cobrasa. If you condoli bis la habre, you take a masondre hefra. You see that the fandre ki presa will break the so preando masitre helandre.
Now, is there anything too hard that I would say, no, I cannot do it because I do not have enough power with God? I say unto you that my word gives you authority in Jesus' name, and if you will take that name, there is nothing that will be impossible to you, because all things are possible because I am the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He just told us we've got the authority and to use it.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Bless the
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
And that and he entered in, a brother J.R. Goodwin, he went into prayer and fasting.
Exactly.
Then he was translated.
Yes.
Into the church. He dealt with the demon, which he saw by the discerning of spirits.
Yes.
Right? Discerning of spirits is seeing into
the spirit
realm.
Yes.
It's not a kind of a suspicious spirit where you think you know things about people.
Mm-mm.
No, it's seeing them.
Yeah.
So he saw that, handled it.
Yes.
Now, remember that you said that he was fasting and praying because nothing was happening?
And nothing was happening in the church, but the next Sunday after this event, people came in, people were saved, people were filled with the Holy Ghost, that church filled up with people, and this, of course, was a time of depression, and he... And there was one other man in town that was in the church. They were the only dad and the other man were the only two people that were paying tithes. But when the church filled up with people, all of a sudden God's provision kicked in and that church prospered all the time he was there.
Wow. Now you see, isn't that marvelous?
Yes.
That thing was holding back the move of the Spirit.
Yes.
And it was holding back the finances.
Absolutely.
Right. Against God's work. Now, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin tells that story. Or did before he left. And he said that he'd go down, and I guess that's early day of Brother Hagin's preaching too.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go down, Dad Goodwin invite him to come preach. And Brother Hagin said, it's terrible. He said, you'd preach and it'd be like your words just bounced off the back wall back at you.
Right.
Nothing happening. So then this happened that you explained.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was invited back. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin was invited back. And Dad Goodwin said to him, he always called Brother Hagin Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He said, you notice anything different, Doc? And Brother Hagin said, did I? I mean, it was everything. The move of the Spirit. It was a night and day. And then Dad Goodwin told Brother Hagin what had happened.
Yeah.
So these things help us. They help us have church.
Amen.
Right.
What was a church service like at their place?
May I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
yes.
And I'll let you respond.
Yeah,
because
go ahead, honey.
In relation to what you were saying there, there was never a pastor or an evangelist that ever came to First Assembly that went away and said, that is the easiest church to preach in, because the freedom of the Spirit was there.
Yes.
And with mom and dad sitting on the platform, honey, you could tear up the place because the Holy Ghost was moving at every turn.
Dad was a very dignified man and a very educated man.
Very educated. He was an engineer.
He was very, very intelligent. But Dad knew the word because he had given himself to fasting and praying 3 days a week in the church. And God moved through Dad beautifully in interpretation. And Mom said that when they first came into tongues and interpretation,
she'd always pray and ask God to give it to her. But God told her one day, he said, if I give you what you want, you could make shipwreck of it. But Dad, when he came into interpretation, he said that it operated and operated, and then one day it stopped. And Mom would say, well, Dad, have you got sin in your life? Why are you not giving interpretations? And he said, I've examined my heart and there's nothing wrong. But one day he had made a covenant with God. When it stops, I don't give anything. If it's there, I give it. And I remember them saying that. And when I came into prophecy, I told the Lord, I said, if you give one word, that's the only word I'll say. If you give two words, I'll say two. But when it stops, I'll stop. That was a great lesson for me. But when it came back, it never stopped. And we had beautiful.
With Brother Goodwin.
With Brother Goodwin.
God was teaching him.
Yes.
Was teaching him, really, and trying and testing him to see if he would. The devil would say, well, you know, you can give this or you can give that. And Dad said, no, I'll give nothing except what the Spirit gives.
My daughter, Shelley, she's not here today. She and her husband are in ministry. But she went to Rhema when Brother Hagin was there. And so one day Brother Hagin was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, now I want you to follow. I want you to flow. And Shelley said, I mean, here we are, just first year Rhema students, and Brother Hagin's telling us to yield the Spirit, and nobody said a word. And finally he said, yeah, I yield, you know, he was telling them. So this one woman, she yields, and Shelley said it was good, beautiful at first, but then she just went on and on. Mm-hmm. And so Brother Hagin, and he told him, he said, now I'm going to interpret. So he interpreted what she said at the first. And he said, now that was the Holy Ghost on you at the first.
Right.
And then you went on with your own spirit thinking, well, this should go on, you know. And so he taught them how to stop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley said, he commended her. He said, you're to be commended because you did. I mean, the rest of these little guys, I mean, they were all too. To, you know, they were not courageous at all.
Yeah.
But he commended her, but then he taught her. One reason I think why we don't have as much manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is that we don't have the proper authority in the church to help people.
Right.
I believe that.
The pastors themselves,
no,
sometimes,
exactly.
Or the leaders of the meeting themselves, don't know how to flow.
Exactly.
Right.
And they don't know how to correct. That's one thing that Brother Joe Jordan and Brother Ron Smith, and Ron's gone to be the Lord now, they said that Brother Goodwin would correct when it needed correcting.
Yes.
He would correct it.
Exactly.
And then that way, people felt safe.
Right.
They didn't feel like we're going to go down to that church, somebody's going to prophesy us over to the middle of Africa if God hadn't called us to the middle of Africa.
And there were about 35 people in that church that could give messages in tongues.
Right.
Yes.
And so if you don't think you could get into some confusion really quick.
But he had order.
He had order.
And you must have order.
Right.
To operate in these things, in the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to talk more about what was a church service like there in that place tomorrow. So this is Billy Brim, and you can go on billybrim.org. And if you missed yesterday, it'll be archived for you. We may even put these up in video. I'm not sure, because I want people to see how the Spirit moves on you. You be free now anytime during this to move. Because God wants to demonstrate the Holy Ghost in these days. This is Billy Britt, and of course today, Don and Beverly Davis saying, Shalom until tomorrow.